This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tetherednation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about. When you hit the woods, there's no room for second-rate gear. That's why I trust Huntworth. They build high-performance hunting gear that keeps you concealed, comfortable, and locked in without the ridiculous price tag. Whether it's lightweight gear for those sweaty September sits, rock-solid mid-season layers, or insulated late-season killers, Huntworth has the lineup to keep you grinding all year long. And every season, they're dropping new gear that's built for serious hunters who demand more out of what they wear. So if you're tired of paying for a logo instead of performance, it's time to upgrade. Head over to huntworthgear.com, check out the full lineup, and hunt prepared, hunt hard, hunt with Huntworth.
So what's up, Jeremy? Pleasure to see you again, man. I know we've been talking about doing this for a while. It's good to have you on, man. What's going on?
Hell yeah, Justin, man. Good to see you as well. It's definitely been a long time coming since I actually looked at my Riverside platform and studio, and I saw I still had yours in there from March of 2024. So it's been a while since we recorded an episode, and life has taken us in so many different directions and busyness and all kinds of good stuff. So I'm pumped that we could do a little publication with this episode, just because we're helping each other out on that side of things. And I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy dude. I'm a busy guy as well with the family and work and everything along those lines. So, man, I appreciate you taking the time out this evening to have me on, and
hey,
you doing it as well.
Likewise, man. I'm glad we can kind of help each other out. Like I said, I've been having some scheduling conflicts lately. It's been like one after another. So thank God last week I had one kind of in the bank, and that was a good thing. But now I'm like, life's just crazy right now, man. I picked up this new job. So, you know, we moved out here to Iowa. I've been here for a month now, like maybe 5 weeks this week, but, yeah, I'll stop counting the weeks after this, but, dude, we absolutely love it. It's been amazing. I couldn't be more thankful for where we are and the people here. And it's just a whole awesome vibe in itself. Iowa's excellent. Like, Iowa nice is a real thing. Like, I have yet to meet like kind of like just mean people. Everybody here is insanely nice. So
I got to ask you, dude, like, what's that? Cause we were just talking about our kids real quick before we, you know, hit the record button. How are they handling it and all that kind of stuff? Just because, I mean, that's cause you left Kentucky, correct?
Yeah.
Kentucky and, along those lines. So was it did they care, or are they at that age where it's still like, they adjust so freaking quick. They're like rubber bands.
Oh my God, dude. I couldn't have done it better. Yeah. Honestly, Jeremy, it was like, I couldn't have done it better. So we bought what we did. We sold our place in Kentucky. We lived in the middle of nowhere. We had no neighbors, nothing, which like is great for me, but it's terrible for the kids. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like me and my wife loved it, and everybody else, all my friends loved it. They were like, oh my God, this place is amazing. And it was. I'm not trying to, like, you know, just about, oh, you know, our Kentucky place was terrible. I loved it, but at the same time, I realized, like, how happy my kids are now versus then. So we moved into a townhouse. We've got tons of neighbors. We've got, like, you know, we live in an area where there's, like, another row of homes next to us. And, yeah, the kids are never here. They're always playing. Like, I mean, all the way through to the dark. It's like pulling teeth to get them to come in and eat dinner. I feel like I never see them. But yeah, they're extremely happy. My wife's really happy. They're kind of out of her hair, you know, like they used to be on their tablets or, you know, this or that, and which like I'm not a fan of at all. And neither is she, but I mean, she really didn't have any options, man. Right. She works from home. So, you know, she had to do everything, and it's a lot better on both of us. Like, I'm out of the house. Like, I do wish that I was spending more time with them. Today, this morning, I kind of touched on it. Like, I don't know if you saw my Instagram story or whatever, but yeah, man, like I started waking up at 5 and it's been awesome. Like, I used to work out in the mornings, but like, I didn't have to rush to wake up. I'd wake up at like 7:30 and go, you know, work out and fill in my day from there, you know, create my own schedule. I used to own a handyman business. So doing that was good. But like, I've got way more structure now. And like, I've got this chaotic schedule where I'm leaving at 7 and I'm not home till like 5:30. So now, like, if I want to get my workout routine in, like, I've got to go to the gym in the morning if I want that family time. So I was just kind of hoping to like encourage some people, you know, that are kind of going through the same thing. It's like, hey man, it's worth it. Do I want to wake up at 5? No, but it's really not that bad, if I'm gonna be honest. And it's worth it.
Dude, good for you on all fronts. Obviously letting, you know, building that family environment with the kids. And I mean, how awesome is it that we could sit here and you're complaining, and in quote, I don't want to say complaining, but you're sitting there saying, man, I didn't see my kids because they're out playing with the other neighborhood. I mean, shit, dude, like, think about when we were growing up. I mean, it was, for at least I could speak for myself, as soon as that sunlight hit and I was finally up and at them, I'm on my bike, I'm at my friend's house, I scrummaged like $3 that hopefully could buy me a Snapple and a beef jerky at the local, you know, gas station that we would ride our bikes to, and play basketball, go into like jump in the lake, go on those trails, cause trouble, you know, stop at so-and-so's house. I mean, I don't see that very often, and you don't hear about it very often. So number one, dude, congrats that the kids are doing that, because I'm sure what a sigh of relief too, like you said, for your wife and for yourself to, you know, to manage that, because dude, it gets a lot. I totally get that. And the other side of it for yourself, man, for getting up at 5 a.m. and like, I'm coming from a 180 where I have an 11-year-old that is about to start middle school and a 1.5-year-old. So like I got the monster gap, dude. And then in the summertime, I'm a teacher. I don't work. My wife is also a teacher. She doesn't work, but we have like that routine of like getting things done around the house. And, we might be, you know, going to do something, anything along those lines. And, you know, quite frankly, like I'm a huge help because of certain things in my family, what we have to conquer. And that has also made me get up at 5 o'clock to get a workout in and do the gym. I'm lucky enough that I have a really nice garage gym that I don't have to go far. So it's like, oh, well, then why can't you go in the middle of the day? Well, because I'm with one of the kids all of them together. So it's like you said, man, it's like that sacrifice because I'd rather myself be done with everything that I personally need to do rather than like, for example, let's use today. If I didn't get up and work out at 5 a.m. today and I decided to let my wife guard, you know, I shouldn't say guard, but like watch the girls, do something with them, I'm missing out on that time. And then we're maybe together for a little bit. They had some things to do. I had some things to do. Then we come back. We had the middle school orientation. And then now we're spending time together doing this. And yeah, baby's asleep, but my daughter's doing something. So we're away from our kids right now. When would I have spent time with them if I didn't get that workout in? Do you know what I mean? So right. It's like,
no, 100%. It's very hard.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand, like, as you know, both of us being podcasters, like the amount of like mental like stress maybe it is for us to, you know, fulfill all these jobs that we have kind of, mm-hmm. you know, like I do love doing this. I'm not trying to kind of make it out like it's a job, but in a sense it is. Yeah. Like you have to set time to record, you have to set time to, you know, schedule with people. And then, you know, you have kind of what happened this week with just like, and you know, it happens. People are busy. People, you know, it is what it is. I totally understand it. But yeah, man, like, I think that's just part of maturity. Like you gotta, if you want to fulfill your goals, it's no, the hunting is, you know, side of things, it's the same thing. Like you gotta make time, you know, otherwise if you're not in control of your schedule, then your schedule's in control of you.
Right.
So,
and I think too, what you said about, you know, I think we're a weird breed because, and I think it goes in any subject matter that you are doing something out on your own, right? Whether you're running your own business, and I'll go on here and say like doing a podcast is like your own little mini business, whether you got an LLC or not, right? Like I feel like because you want to do something. So at the same time, when you're doing this, you want to do good for yourself and put something like quality out there. Like we have something internally in us that is basically saying we want something good out of this. Right. Whether it be like you're like you versus you to prove it to yourself, you're capable of something like larger than yourself. And then like getting information out there to the masses, to people. I mean, shoot, man, like that's the crazy thing. So it's like when you have those doubts, and which I've had, and I've had them a lot more so recently than ever, about continuation. And then it's like, you have these moments of maybe ideas and so forth, but it's like, do I want my daughter to be like, oh, daddy quit his podcast. And like, but like if what that day when I know I will close up shop, I want there to be like an understanding as to why, like maybe it's just I grew out of it, right? Like it, and that's okay. I don't want her to look at it or me be like I quit because it was whatever anymore. Like I want to be one of the day I hang it up, I want to be able to like be okay with it and just know
I
like,
didn't quit because it was hard. I quit because it was time.
Yeah
And it's terrible we're talking about quitting podcasts. I'm not trying to say neither right. I don't think either of us are trying to quit.
no
But no, you're so right, man. And it's like, but I think I know you well enough, Jeremy. I know we're not like extremely close, but I do know you well enough to know that like we definitely have a drive to do it. And we have really busy schedules and our family is our number one priority over everything. Yep. So, you know, that's one of the big things I really like about you, man, is like,
appreciate that,
I feel like you and I are very one and the same with that.
Yeah.
And you know, August is honestly the most stressful time for me because, all right, so I just went to Lexington, Kentucky last weekend, right? I was away from the family. This weekend, I'm hanging out with them. Next weekend, I'm going to the road show, the Whitetail Road Show in Iowa. It's only 3 hours away, but I'm going to spend the night there, you know, and then I'm away for 2 days. And then deer season kicks off. And then I'm like, now I'm working all the time. And then when am I going to have time to hunt? I haven't even had time to go put cameras out yet here in Iowa, which I'm okay with. I just moved here. I've got some good plans. I plan on scouting and putting cameras out. And I know the opener here opens in like October. I won't even be able to hunt till like October 10th or so until I can draw an Iowa tag. You have to be a resident here for 90 days if you didn't know.
Oh, okay. And I was going to ask you that. What was that?
Yeah.
You know,
for the yeah. Road. So I will be able to hunt. And what I plan on doing, man, is just like putting all this stuff that I talk about on the podcast to work.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't have, like, it's a great tool. Don't get me wrong, but like, I want to use my woodsmanship and I can't wait to like kill a great deer off of just that and not the cameras. You know what I mean? Like when I was younger, I was always on good deer. I never used a camera ever. So it doesn't bother me. It is what it is. It's just, it's the time of the season. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like my life, and I'm not going to stress myself out over things that I can't control because I need to work and I need to be with my family and I need to make sure they're happy, because especially right now, because season's about to kick off.
Yeah.
So, which brings us to kind of like what we planned on talking about was like, are you ready for season?
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of like a checklist kind of deal, and, you know, and touch on everything else, man. Like what's going on this year for you. I know you hunt out of state, yep. right? You on Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah. So just like kind of remembering from a previous conversation.
And we'll be going to your home state too again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coming to Iowa?
Well, no, not that home state. Your original.
Maryland. Like,
yeah, Maryland. There you go.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Hopefully Iowa's next year. That's the plan.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Well, if you come out here, what zone are you thinking about trying to get?
Honest to goodness, man, just because it's always been on the back burner of like knowing I'm not going to pull it, I've never really dissected it. Whereas like now I think like, honestly, dude, like January 1's going to hit and my focus is going to be like, all right, where can I, cause I know I have enough, I had enough points to pull the last 2 years. I just financially and other obligations, I just knew it wasn't in the cards and I didn't want to ever half ass that first trip out there and wait another 3-4 years basically. So I'm not positive. I know I've had a couple of people tell me like Southern, Iowa maybe.
Yeah. So like zone 5 or zone 6, probably. They're like the best zones, I would say. Yeah. I mean, realistically, like anywhere in the state holds great deer. Yeah. It does. Like it's just, especially from you coming from Pennsylvania.
Well, that's going back to what you were saying about your story for this year, like, dude, the buck this year that you will wrap your hands around, like on those antlers, that buck is going to have such a wonderful meaning to you.
Oh my God. I know. Like, I've already thought about it.
I can't wait to hear. Cry. Yeah. Like I can't wait to hear that.
Not to sound. Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to hear that.
It's going to mean so much because I've been through a lot, man. That move was a lot on me. It was very hard. I second guessed myself. Am I doing the right thing? Am I being selfish? Am I this? Am I that? You know, everyone's like, oh, you're just going out there for deer. It's not just about that. And I'm being extremely honest when I say that it was not just about the deer. We wanted to move out west. And I told her, I'm like, I don't think you're going to be happy living way out west, honestly, like, cause the winters are just so long. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, you know, we enjoy the summer. So I was like, you know what? I feel like maybe we should move to the Midwest. And then we started like, well, I don't want to live in Illinois, Missouri. Like, I don't know. I know Missouri is a great state, but if we're going to do the move, we may as well go to Iowa. And she was like, all right, let's go. So she's very understanding. Like Kentucky was really, tough on me mentally, man. I had to grind so hard every single year, and it was just like pitfall after pitfall, and I would scratch and claw my way to find the deer that I would look for. And then finally, like, I would get close to them, and then rifle season comes in like right at the prime time during bow season, Our rifle came in at November 9th, like, and just last year, like, a majority of my hit listers were killed on opening day. So I had to, like, start over and rebound. And I was just like, man, you know, whatever. I'm going to go with, you know, the first mature deer that gives me a shot. So that's what I did. And I was stoked. It did mean a lot. And I was super fired up. So it is what it is, man. Season is a roller coaster. I've really grown a lot from going through all these past seasons of struggles and just understanding that the season is a marathon, not a sprint. And I hope all you guys listening can really take something from that, because you might see, like, don't be jaded by Instagram or Facebook 100%. Seeing all your buddies slam big deer after big deer. Like, your time's coming if you're putting in the effort. Like, it is what it is. You know, if you put in enough time and you're scouting, like, you'll get your chance. I feel like every year I look at every season, like, I'm going to get at least one opportunity at a good deer. Whether I kill it or not is, like, up to me. So that's what brings me to the preparation factor. You know, I know both of us, you know, love archery. We practice a lot. I feel like that's kind of like beating a dead horse. Like, obviously, guys, like, be out there practicing. But the other side of things, you know, is the mental preparedness. Like, are you, like, for me especially, like, what if I actually do have the biggest deer I've ever seen in my life come in this year? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not used to seeing 160s all the time. I'm really not. So that's the other side of me. It's like, okay, like, you may actually run into, like, a giant deer, and are you mentally ready for that? You know, are you, you know, the process and everything else that goes into that. But where do you want to get started, man? What's your thoughts?
Let's go there. Let's talk about, like, where we are at mentally, you know, I guess going into the season. I think that's a really good, good starting point, just because, like you said, the archery side of things, I mean, just like yourself, we do practice a lot. And I think, you know, there's things right now, which I know you being a big gear guy yourself, to tag along on the bow side of things, the archery side of things, is like practicing now, especially, I mean, we're mid August, we're getting down into some early season openers. Like I told you, doing the Maryland opener, which is that first weekend in September. Like, now's the time, if you haven't done it already, like, spend some evenings setting up your platform or your climber or your just whatever device you're using to hunt out of, and start repping some shots out of that. Right. Like, so, like, start doing those things. So that way you could start knowing where things are at. You know, I'm a saddle hunter guy. So, you know, where those ropes are, where are things going in your backpack? Practice that. So don't let night one or the night prior to that be the first time you're really start fidgeting with that type of stuff. Especially too, like, guys that want to start self-filming and doing that stuff, like, it's a process. It's not something that you're like, oh yeah, I got a camera arm, it's easy, I'm going to throw it in my bag, and then tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, I'm going to go in a little bit earlier and start setting up. Like, that's not probably a good idea. Practice that now.
I'm so glad you touched on that, because I bought a new camera and I need to buy a new VariZoom. Yep. So completely didn't even think about that. So, you know, I already said to myself when I was, like, kind of brainstorming on the way home today about this, I was like, I'm sure there's going to be something that one of us talk about that's going to be like, oh, I need that. Yeah. You know, so get your notebooks out, guys, listening to this, and jot down some good stuff that you might really need. This is, like, in all honesty, this is the last kind of minute that you really have to do that kind of stuff.
Do it right now, because a lot of this stuff there, you're going to have guys that do forget, which is totally fine, but make sure the whatever you want to buy is in stock, because the last thing you want is like, we're sold out. We don't know when we're going to get it. Like, that's right. Going to suck.
Yeah. I always try to, like, touch on that, like, around March. It's like, what do you need in your setup? What did you, like, not have that you needed, you know, and, like, get that now, because you never know, could have a 4 week lead time or whatever, you know?
Yep.
And, I switched up, this year, and I went to the 8mm rope instead of, like, a 10mm. Mm-hmm. So I got one of the Kongs, which is new to me. Mm-hmm. And guess what? My carabiner that I've used for the past 5 years does not fit in that comb. So I got to buy another carabiner that fits better.
Yep. You got to get that old.
Just little stuff.
Yeah.
The little stuff like that. And in all honesty, that thing's kind of like noisy. So I got to figure out some way to quiet that up a little bit.
Yeah. You just look online. There's definitely that stealth strip stuff. There are ways that you could do that. I shouldn't probably say it, but I still use my Rotman one with my 8mm, even though it's like rated.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I've been doing it the last couple years.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I've had no issues. I think it's more of like an insurance thing that they didn't want to pay for. You know what I mean? Cause it probably was like, well, for another $100,000, you could go down to that, but you know, you don't want to. But yeah, gotcha. I definitely hang from an eight or a Rotman one on the 8mm. So I'm totally fine. I mean,
cool. Well, thanks for the heads up.
I'm 184 pounds in the morning, butt ass naked. So with some clothes on, I'm probably pushing 190, especially hunting clothes. And after a couple of weeks of the season, for sure in the 190s usually. But yeah, so definitely do that stuff. Get things taken care of now, man, because my first year, which was six years ago when I did my first saddle hunt, for opening season, you know, like typical individuals listening, you probably get up that first morning and still want to go out just because it's that opening day excitement, right? And I practice religiously because from where I was day one of getting set up in a tree, I remember swinging from the side going, oh my gosh, why did I sell everything of what I own for this? Because I didn't know what I was doing. I watched videos, all that type of stuff. And then I started getting the hang of it and absolutely like fell in love with it and understood how to maneuver and all that jazz. And I remember opening day, I was self-filming and I remember looking at the camera going, I am so happy that I practiced as much as I did because my morning setup went flawlessly. You know what I mean? And it just got better as the season progressed. So
For sure.
You know, just no matter what.
You definitely there's definitely a dial-in factor.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it takes you like, maybe five or six hunts until you're like, all right, this is like second nature, you know?
So no matter what style you're doing, practice it, be ready for it. Because like you said, man, like you never know when something's going to happen. Like it could be, you could be on that buck early season and get in close to the bedroom and there you go. And, you know, are you mentally, you know, are you physically prepared with your stuff and are you mentally prepared to go ahead and execute that?
Yeah. Now, and another thing with like, you know, the self-filming stuff is like, really practice with that. If it's your first year going for self-filming, like I highly, highly advise you to even practice with a 3D target and like just get the motions down and know what you're going to do with your hands. Cause like everything goes in, especially when it's your first time doing something with it. And I highly suggest like, for me, like I've done, if you guys ever want to go back and look at some videos I've done, I went from using a mirrorless camera to using the, I went to a Handycam this year, like back to a Handycam. So I started with, and I used the VariZoom, which is just something so I can use my right hand. I'm a right-handed shooter. So I got my bow in my left hand, camera in the right, and I use the thumb portion to zoom in and out. And then I can hit the record button with the thumb. So, and it also has a light when it's recording. So there's no reason for you not to know if you're recording or not.
I was about to say, make sure you're not double tapping.
That's right. That's right. And it's happened to a lot of people I know. So, just being familiar with your setups is huge. And then, you know, something else to kind of like bring into the picture is like, what's your plan? You know, there's a lot that goes into why and where, you know, what's the wind going to do? Do you have a plan for a north wind or, you know, what happens if a south wind's coming in? Like being mobile is great for those kind of situations. But, you know, if you're a hunter that's got like a pre-hung set or something, like, well, you might want to be prepared to, you know, if you've got a deer coming in and he's doing the same thing, like, well, maybe you want to have an option, you know? Right. So now's a great time. If you, you got a few weeks, you can go into there to your setup and look around for another tree option. You know, I think that's a really beneficial thing. having a plan A and a plan B can really help you.
Let me ask you this, dude, because what you were saying, because you're a great example for this. You just moved, haven't really been in the woods, have not done a ton of scouting. For an individual that life has taken over, right? Let's go back from January, maybe working, doing different things, family, just hasn't had the opportunity to really get out there to do postseason scouting when the time is ripe for that, right? But the season is closely approaching, and they're like, oh man, I do have time now to go out and scout, and I will have a little bit more time to hunt than I thought originally. Do you still see some really good value out of individuals getting out now to lead into the hunting season for scouting?
I mean, yeah, it's situational, but I think the older that I've gotten, the more that I've kind of not put as much salt into summer scouting because mm-hmm. they always seem to shift.
Yep.
So like for me, it's like, especially now with, you know, Kentucky opener was totally different because you're hunting deer on their summer patterns. Here in, you know, Iowa, like it being, sorry.
No, you're good, man.
It being opening in October, like they're going to be on a totally different pattern. Mm-hmm. So my focus here, especially is like, I want to go like this weekend. I told the wife, I'm like, I want to spend Saturday morning. I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to go put boots on the ground in a lot of places and come back in the afternoon. And I'm going to bring cameras with me, but like, in all honesty, I just want to make a bunch of scrapes in certain areas that feel like, you know, sexy or attractive to me that are going to be fall ranges. So, yeah, like that. You know, that everything kind of changes around September. So you're going to not only, it's not a big deal if you're not prepared right now, like don't worry about it. Kind of get prepared for the fall, go in the woods and, you know, look at those like tight little transition zones and like funnels and stuff like that. Like, let's be honest, most of us are going to spend a majority of our time hunting during, you know, the late October to November period anyway. So,
right.
You know, I'm not saying to like avoid early season. That's not where I'm going with this. But if you're able to get out, like here's a huge factor. If you're able to get out and glass, if you're in an area where you can glass, that's the same thing as scouting. If you're able to, you know, get on your Onyx and look at pinches, that's scouting. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason for anybody to not be putting some kind of effort into their season. Like that's really where my focus has been when I have free time is like, where do I want to spend my time scouting at? Yeah. Like what are good areas? What are not good areas? So I've been going out and driving to new pieces of public and kind of trying to scope them out and see what's actually there versus what's on Onyx.
Right.
And then kind of like, okay, well, I've got three really good locations from what I feel like, and then I'm going to put boots on the ground in those areas and make sure what I'm thinking on Onyx is actually reality.
Yeah. No, those are all great points. And I think that's the one aspect that I've recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, but like I put a lot of stock in the last couple of years is when, you know, more I hunt, put it this way, from Central Pennsylvania is where my family resides. I hunt a lot in Northeast PA. And so central here to me on the public land side of things, I still dabble with some scouting here and there just to maybe go for a walk or some, put a ruck in and put a camera or two out. But the last 2 years, I haven't put a lot of time in postseason scouting because I know I'm not spending a lot of time here. However, I do like to know if where does are, if I don't feel like traveling on the weekend or I can't make it for the weekend, but I can hunt one day type of ordeal. I can maybe go and know, okay, hey, this could be a really good doe spot if it's a mid-October or if it's after work, I have an opportunity to hunt, something along those lines. I like to have those little mini options in my back pocket. And what I've done is what you just said, man, was thinking about using past history of what I've really have found success in. And like you said, deer are going to be start moving. They're changing their patterns, all that type of stuff. So I'm like, okay, if I know that middle October timeframe, or if there's like a scrape that just seems the old history or just things look like, you know, it could be going off around that timeframe. That's where I'm hanging a camera. That's where I know maybe early on you may not, but that, you know, in a couple weeks later, that's when it's going to be, you know, you have that, those opportunities. And a couple of years ago, dude, I did a ton of that where I did a lot of postseason scouting in one spot, threw a couple cameras up and let them soak all year, basically. But man, I found one spot where I remember being in there and going, man, it depending if their food is here in the early season, I could see this being a really good potential, you know, a lot of deer activity spot. So it was like one of our first cold fronts. And, I just remember, I was like, I'm going out. I'm going to go to that spot where I saw a bunch of scrapes. And I know from going out there, like the week prior, just to glass to see what acorn the crop was. And it was just insane. I was like, I just think early season, it might rain on Saturday. That might be the spot. And like, my mind was like, first deer that's like doe or a good buck, I was going to whack. And it was like that first non-first day. So it was like that, you know, what would that be technically your second Saturday of the season, but first full weekend. And, after that little light rain, big pile of does come right up over the hill and feeding on some acorns and put a perfect shot on a doe and had a dragger way too far. And that's why I told myself I'm done doing that shit. But it played exactly out the way I envisioned it a couple months prior. So like the whole, would I have hunted there if the acorn drop was there? No, I wouldn't have. I 100% wouldn't have. But knowing I had that acorn, you know, I knew what was in that area. That's why I went there and hunted there. But, that just goes to show you. But again, that was a little bit postseason, but also then like early season getting in there and seeing that crop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, one of the obvious things, like if you find previous scrapes, like in the summertime, if you are able to go out right now, mm-hmm. look for branches that are curled up, look at, you know, like that kind of stuff. Don't just be looking on the ground for, you know, dirt that's, you know, that was there from last year. Like look at the trees. Like if you see a low hanging branch and you see that thing's all branches or, you know, branches are missing on it and, you know, it's all curled up, there's a good chance they're going to hit that scrape again. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that I would be looking for. You know, but I think really like here, my shift in mindset has been access.
Okay.
Where am I going to go? You know, all my local buddies have talked about how much pressure all the public gets during the rut here. So I'm going to be super, super keyed in on like limited access areas, like, or water access, or like getting to places that are, you know, creative and maybe letting, but it might take me a little bit longer to get in there, but I could bet that like, if there are other people in that area, they're going to push deer into where I am. So that's where my mindset's at with, you know, what I'm trying to scout on 1X. Like, okay, I can park here. I'm going to take my kayak. I'm going to drift into this spot and then I should be in a great area. And then, you know, those are going to be places that I'm going to go in completely blind and maybe just go in earlier in the morning, like say 10 o'clock even, and scout my way in and hunt a long afternoon sit and then come back the following morning and hunt it like that.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that you need to be doing. Like if you can go out and spend a whole weekend, like, you know, even if it's close to home, try to hunt that Saturday, you know, evening, scout Saturday afternoon, hunt that fresh sign. If you don't see what you see in the evening, hunt there in the morning. If you don't see what you see in the morning, get down 9:30, 10 o'clock and push a little bit deeper and go from there. And that's really a great approach. I think, you know, way too many of us are way over concerned with getting pictures of deer when in all honesty, I think a lot of these big mature deer are very aware of trail cameras. And by the time you go in, scout, do your thing, put your camera out, and the deer comes through that you're looking for, he's got your number. Like, he's like, oh, okay, well that wasn't there, you know, like, so I think that a lot of these really mature deer on public in Iowa are really keyed into that. Cause let's face it. If you want to come here, Jeremy, like in a year or 2 years, I would put money on it. You're going to come out in the summer and put cameras out. Right.
Yeah. I would hope. You know, yeah, like, cause I mean, like, just, like, I want to see, you want to see, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not kind of throwing shame. Oh, I'm just saying that's the reality. Mm-hmm. Like all these guys are putting in time to scout and put cameras out and do all this. So for me at this time frame, if I go into an area and I find cameras, like, okay, there's hunter sign in here.
Right.
I want to find places that don't have that.
Correct.
And that's kind of my approach for the season. Plus, I kind of left out, I got a Kansas tag. So September 15th, I am going to go in completely blind and hunt some public in Kansas. And I'm going to use that as a scouting mission too. And I'm going to put cameras out for the rut. So Lord willing, I can kill one earlier here in, you know, the rut here. And then I can shift because I'm extremely close to Kansas, dude. It's only the area that I'm hunting is only 3 hours away.
Oh my God.
So I know I could jet off, you know, from work early and go spend a whole weekend there and come back, you know, Sunday evening.
Right.
So that's a whole nother, you know, animal to kind of tackle. And you know, I'm really fortunate, man. Like, you got to have a good wife, but I've been doing my best to like really make her happy and like make sure, you know, she's taken care of and, you know, we get our time. And that's kind of, I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of lacking in that area right now, yeah. But I'm working on that. Just joined a Facebook group for local college kids that want to babysit. So
nice. I like that. It's awesome. Yeah.
Put that on your to-do list, guys. Make sure you're
get that honey-do list taken care of. Yeah. That is that
100%. Yeah. That's the real chores that you got to take care of. The scouting's fun, but those are the things. And I'm not saying I don't have fun with my wife. I wasn't trying to get you to say that.
Dude, nothing.
You know what I mean.
Nothing kills the friggin' mood at deer camp more so than when you get, what time you coming home? When can I expect you? You can expect me when I open up the door.
Yeah.
Oh, dark. Man. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. I know. It is. It's an obsession. And my wife knew from the very beginning, you know, since we started dating, it's like, I thought that the fire was hot then, man. Like, she's like, you're really going to become like an animal out here, aren't you? And I'm like, I can imagine if I get like a booner on camera or something out here, like, yeah, what's going to do to me. But yeah, I don't know, man. I just want to have fun, you know?
Well, that leads.
I'm really, really at that point in my life. Like, mm-hmm, I've had so many stressful seasons that I've ruined it. And I've ruined the enjoyment of hunting for myself because I'm so worried about the outcome and not the process.
Right. And that just leads us into that perfect segue into the mindset, dude. I mean, I love how you just said, like, you want to just have fun again. And you think back to those early days before you got like, and I'm saying you as yourself, cause you shot some friggin' awesome deer, man. And some that I call booners. And, you know, I think back to those times when I just was just having fun. I hate to say the term like just killing deer, but like how just having fun hunting. You know what I mean? And yeah, like that aspect of filling a tag and doing all that stuff just was just so much fun. And when you start not having fun and when you start putting pressure on yourself, like what we were saying earlier, I was going to say about like guys that like really are pushing hard and doing so much. And you're saying your time will come and you have that moment. And I love what you said, either you might have that one moment and whether you might have the shot opportunity or you may not, man, I know in the moment at the time, it's so hard to think this way, but once your season is over and you could go back and replay that, you learn something from that moment. And I know in the moment it sucks because you're like, dang it, I didn't get that shot opportunity. That was my one opportunity type of ordeal. And it sucks at that point in time. But man, I'm telling you, when you could go back and be more positive and mindful thinking in that side of things, of taking what you learned throughout the season, and even then taking what didn't work, what did work, and then possibly some of those in moment situations that you could take away, dude, you're going to learn so much about not only deer hunting, but about yourself, and that you could then,
yeah, amen,
you know, you
amen
could then put into that so much more. Because I still say my 1 year. So in 2 years, dude, 1 year, I had more encounters with good bucks here in PA than ever before. And I did not get a chance to draw my bow back on it. And I didn't fill my buck tag that year, but I still will say that is my most successful year to date, because all those years prior to that, I missed some good bucks and I could have went on a good streak, quote unquote, with my bow, but I sucked
at the time in the heat of the moment. And I'm just being honest, man, I did. I sucked. And I worked hard. I had a good year then. And then I just kind of, I kind of went back to my old ways for like 2 years. And then that third year after that, again, I was like, I put in a lot of time scouting. I started putting more pieces of the puzzle together, and shit started clicking. I got better deer on camera. I got better deer on the stand, that type of stuff. And then the next year I was so determined, dude, I went on a killing spree. In 2.5 yep. weeks, I put 5 deer down, a buck and 4 doe here in PA, where I was donating to our free program here in PA, because I was just, I had so much fun. And then the next year, like last year, I killed a buck in Ohio. I killed a buck here with the rifle in PA. And those last two, three years, man, were just so much fun. I know our recording, I think, just stopped. So hold on, let me do something. Where is that? Could you hear me still?
Yeah, I could hear you. It just like went blank for 1 second.
Yeah, I don't know if my main camera died on me or not. Your recording has stopped. Something went wrong and you aren't being recorded anymore. Everyone else is still being recorded. Okay, so I might have to come back in. You stay there.
Do you want me to hit stop?
No, just remember 42.
Okay.
All right, there you go. So that was probably my main camera died. That's my apologies.
Okay. You're good.
But yeah, dude, those years, I just went back to having fun. And that is the main gist. I mean, I can't tell you, like, those years where I knew I was struggling after that year of I struggled a couple of years in a row. I had success, and then I struggled after that. Those couple years after that success point, it was because I put too much pressure on myself. I started this podcast. I was doing this. I was doing that with companies and blah, 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 all the bullshit. And it was like, once I focused on myself, my people around me who I hunt with, and just got back to the basics and having fun, dude, so much better things that happened, whether it was filling more tags or not. So much better. So much more better things happened, that it was just insane. And I think
swear.
Just go into the season positive. I'm telling you, it will go a long freaking way.
It sure does. I've said this several times, man, and I swear the deer can like just read your energy when you're in a bad mood and you're pissed off because you're not seeing deer. It's, I don't know what it is, if it's just a frequency kind of deal or what it is, but man, when I'm calm and I'm enjoying myself and I'm not even worried about seeing deer, I'm just like, man, what a gorgeous, you know, sunrise, or, look at that, man. That's pretty cool. And then bam, like, oh, here comes a deer, you know? And I don't know, you can reflect that back to life as well. You know, I think that's one of my favorite things about hunting, is like how many valuable life lessons you can take away from hunting in general. Like, the fact that, you know, one of my good buddies kind of like touched on it last time, but he's also a podcaster, Pierce Snells with the Wisconsin Sportsman. And he was like, man, I messaged you and you were like, he was telling me to like, just keep going. And I'm like, dude, I'll never quit, you know, like, and just that fact alone, like, if you just refuse to quit, like, good things are coming, whether it's in the middle of December or January, like, it's the truth. I've been very fortunate, you know, we're growing up in Maryland where we had 3 buck tags, and I've always hunted all the way to the very end, like all the way to January 31st. And I mean, I even killed a good buck on the very last day of season, and I pulled his antlers off his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it's just the fact of the matter. Like, I think, you know, kind of not to like bring religion into this, but I feel like God just kind of almost tests us sometimes with our patience factor, and like, he's willing to give you a reward for the work that you're putting in. Yeah. And you just have to see it that way. And it's like, you throwing in the towel is a sure way to make sure you don't fill your tags, and you being in a terrible mood is not going to help your cause whatsoever. So,
And it goes back to like your core group too. Like that includes your family, that includes your friends, your close friends, and like just your support system. Because man, like nothing like my wife does this trick where she says to my daughter, my oldest daughter, like, okay, say this out loud. I'm mad at my mom and dad because they want me to brush my teeth before bed. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Just like she makes her,
I like that. I'm gonna use that.
Yeah. Like I'm mad at my mom and dad because they won't let me, whatever it be, you know, and you could sit there and do the same thing for yourself. Like I'm sitting here sulking. I'm mad because I went on Instagram and saw people with a nice buck. What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so like,
no, and that's never going to change, guys. I don't care who you are or what's going on. Like,
yeah.
People are just going to be slaying good deer. And if you let that get to your head, like, then you're already in trouble, you know? And you need to be happy for other people. There's way too much like animosity with like, oh, this guy, oh, he always kills deer. You don't know what his circumstance is. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like some of these people don't even work, man. They just hunt all the time. And like, how does a normal working class guy like compete with that? You know what I mean? Everybody's got their own set of problems, their own set of scenarios. And who are you to judge anybody? You know,
cause here's the thing. And dude, and here's the thing. You kill a great buck in Iowa. I'm going to shoot you a text. I'm going to congratulate you. And I'm going to write on your Instagram post, like awesome deer, give you a little fist pump, all that stuff. But man, I'm stoked for you. I know there's an amazing story behind it and I can't wait. But dude, I'm not going to be sitting there. I might tell my wife, oh man, a good buddy of mine killed. But then after that, it's out of my mind. Right. Yeah. Like,
and your wife don't care.
She don't give like, a shit.
Yeah.
No, you know,
and you know, I know this is a total regurgitated fact, but nobody really gives a shit, man.
Nope.
In all honesty. So why are you going to let somebody else killing a deer bother you? That's the way, great way to look at it, you know, but another thing I really wanted to touch on that you kind of touched on a little bit is, make sure you've got a really good friend that shares the same passion you do. Mm-hmm. That's got a good mindset, that somebody that you kind of respect and is willing to set you straight and tell you the things that you need to hear, whether you want to hear them or not. We all need to have those friends, like, cause it's very easy to get down on ourselves. I'm terrible. I haven't seen a deer in 10 days. I haven't seen a good buck all season. Guess what? I mean, you know, like I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. You can look through my Instagram. Yeah. I've killed tons of great deer, dude. I don't see that many big deer, you know, like I really don't. Like it's a grind. Mm-hmm. Like it's a grind for everybody. And I had so much more time in Kentucky than I'm going to have this season, but it's not a big deal. It is what it is. Hunting is supposed to be fun. And if it starts to overweigh, if the stress becomes more than the joy, then like you really need to get control of yourself, because you're not promised tomorrow. And I want you guys to really focus on just enjoying this season and enjoying your time out there, and make sure that you set time to go spend a deer camp, or like take one of your friends. Like I'm very guilty of that. Like that. Right. I am, you know, that kind of lone hunter where I do that a lot, and I'm by myself all the time. And it's so much more fun to share, you know, a hunt with somebody, throw away a day or so and go get in a tree with one of your good buddies and cut it up with them. And it, you know, I can promise you, even if you guys don't see a deer, you're still going to enjoy yourselves. So, you know, think about that, man. Like now's a great time. You know, you got a good friend of yours that's ate up with hunting like you. Make sure you put something on the calendar and you stick to it. I've always been huge on setting dates, because it's way easier to get permission if you've told the old lady 2 or 3 months in advance, like November 8th, I'm going to go for 4 days with, you know, such and such. And instead of being like, hey, hon, do you care like if I jet out for 4 days and, you know, like next week or no, that's probably a good way to get like, you know, some grumpy phone calls.
Share that Google, calendar. I mean, I'm telling you right now, when you put it on right now and you see November 6th through whatever it be, and it says Ohio and dad on it, there's no coming up to it where I have to be like, hey, it's been on the, you know, that's,
yeah,
it is,
really
so
sorry.
It's so easy.
I would love to be there, honey. But,
yeah. You know, it's so much easier, man, to be like, it was on there in July.
Yeah. I really messed up a few years ago, and even more comical that I wounded a giant deer and I didn't recover him. It's almost like God's way of being like, well, you're an asshole. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't have done that. My daughter, you know, I was struggling that year. I wasn't really struggling. I passed some good deer. Just wasn't seeing the deer that I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And my buddy's like, hey, why don't you come to Indiana? It's opening weekend of rifle. And I was like, well, I don't want to kill a deer with a rifle. I just want to bow hunt. Well, you should bring your gun too. Okay. Well, I go in the woods with a bow and a freaking giant, probably like, I'm going to just guess he was like 150 inch seven pointer, like just a magnum. He had like a Booner frame, dude, just mm-hmm. a huge deer. And you know what? Like, and I'm not proud of this at all. And it really gave me a gut check. Like it really did. I felt terrible, but there was a last minute father daughter dance that popped up and I bailed on my daughter to go hunting. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not encouraging that. But like there is some things that aren't near as important as hunting, you know, mm-hmm. for those of you guys that are dads out there, like, I mean, some of you guys might be judging me for that and like rightfully so, but it was one of those things, that just didn't work out. And I really upset my wife and I upset my daughter and I told her I would make it up to her. And I tried and I did, but like, I couldn't help sit in my tree stand and feel like an asshole. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, it just wasn't a good experience. Yeah. And my buddy hounded me the entire time in deer camp that I should have taken a rifle, you know, and his son hounded me like, oh, you know, this fire is really nice. And I was like, yeah, it is. He's like, you'd be a whole lot nicer with a giant buck hanging up, you know,
you could already be almost I'm home. Like, you could
you're
almost...
lucky that you're 10 years old, you little shit.
Oh man. Yeah, dude, same thing. I had a moment where, this was years ago. My daughter was like in a play. It was her first play she did. And she was just like on stage for like 2 minutes. She was like part of the ensemble, didn't have a role. Wasn't any, yeah. No speaking points, just get up on stage while the main people dance and do things. And she was dressed as like, it was the Peter Pan. I forget what, I don't even remember. I think she was just like a lost kid type of ordeal, like okay. part of Neverland, okay. part of that scene. And, I had the opportunity to go out to Montana to work a total archery challenge. And my wife always knew how bad I've always wanted to go out west, financially and all that type of stuff and obligations. We just never would be able to probably do it. And I kind of looked at it like, this might be my one chance I could ever see the Montana mountains. Like,
yeah.
And, unfortunately it fell on that weekend. And, you know, my daughter understands now it's not that big of a deal, but dude, it's funny because she'll still throw a dig. She'll be like, remember yeah. that time you missed my first play? And I'm like,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm like, but oh, yeah. I said that I missed one ever since. And will I ever miss one again? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? I feel yeah. like we all have those one moments where
our kids are only this little for one time in yep. their lives. Yep. You know, I love the saying. It's like, you know, you're lucky to have 18, you know, seasons, mm-hmm. you know, with your kid, and then they grow up and they're gone and they're never the same. And in all reality, it's way more limited than that.
Yeah.
You've got between 4 years old and, you know, realistically that they're going to remember between like four and maybe 13 or 14, like, especially for girls. Cause I feel like they kind of go through and I really hope that that's not the case. Like I try to do my best to be a great dad and like, do as much as I can with my kids and be present and stuff like that. But, it's the truth, man. Like, mm-hmm. so especially if you've got young kids, you know, I think it's even more important to make sure you don't miss those things, even if they are on November 1st, it is what it is. Like, yep. guess what? When they grow up and you're an old guy, you're still going to be able to go get after deer all you want. So it's just, I don't know. You got to put things in perspective,
dude. And the day you're struggling or you're on your deathbed, man, she's not going to be, or he, your son or daughter are not going to be like, he was a great deer hunter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they might, he was a great deer hunter, but man, he sucked as a dad or he was a dick. I mean, that's not what I want to be known for.
You know what, Jeremy, I've really had a moment where I thought about that, you know, and I'm like, if you really look at a lot of these guys that we really, really respect,
right.
I hope nobody hounds me for this, but like, let's look at Bobby Worthington. Let's look at Andre DeQuisto. Let's look at Dan Infault and all these other people that we really respect and we think are freaking awesome and incredible people. They missed out on their kids' childhood. You know what I mean? They missed out on a lot of things. And I know that I want to be remembered for being a great dad, not that, you know, not like my, that's all my dad does is hunt.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And I know that they probably already look at it like that, but they can't say that. Cause it's like, hey, if you have something, I'm going to be there for it.
Yep.
So something to consider. I wasn't trying. I had to touch on that. I don't
know. Dude, 100%.
It is. And I don't think many people really think about that, you know, like in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it goes back to what I was even mentioned, like within the first couple minutes of the podcast about us doing this, because we have this internal drive, right? We have this, it's a weird time in life for men and women, you know, like wanting to do something. And I think of it for myself. I can never settle. I'm always, dude, like I know I have ADD 100%. I start a million projects and I finish one and that type of stuff. And I call it like that. I'm diagnosing myself with it. But we have this internal drive, this internal feeling of wanting to be successful and to do better and to do right. But it's so hard to manage that because of what expectations are put on, not only maybe for yourself, but from other people, right? Like you were just saying, like naming some great hunters.
It's highly successful people are all like that, man. Like yep. 90% of the time, we're not happy with what we have. And then 1% of the time or 5% of the time, like, hey, we did something and we get a hurrah moment. But then it's like, all right, what's next? And, you know what I mean?
Yep. And for individuals like yourself and I, where we have the family, we have young kids, hunting is not paying my bills. Hunting,
right.
Things that I'm doing, podcast things that I'm doing are not paying my bills. And there are things of enjoyment. And what I could tell my wife is do you think I'm doing a good job at prioritizing, you know, you and the family and everything compared to going out hunting? Like a couple of years ago, it'd be, dude, every day after work, I would try to go out and do something or scout and blah, blah, blah. Dude, last year I went out after work one time and I had the most fun season 2 years in a row doing that. And yeah. I hunted less and my family's good. I'm mentally good. My friends are good. I could be a good sounding board for them when it comes to maybe life things, hunting things. So, you know, I don't know where this kind of conversation started, but it just goes back to that whole where you're at in the beginning with everything, wanting to do better, and just it's okay to check yourself, and it's okay to fail, and it's okay to know that you may not be the best at something, whether it's being the best dad, being the best son, being the best hunter. Thing just work hard and don't be afraid to reach out and like get help with like friends with that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying if it's a therapist, if that's what it needs to be, but I'm saying like find that good support system, because once you do, man, I'm telling you, it is enormous. Because dude,
I've got a couple people. I'm very fortunate that like. I keep a small circle, but like at the same time, it's like, I do have a couple really good friends that I can, you know, that can check me too. You know, it's like, all right, man, I understand, but, quit being a little bitch and keep going. You know, it's like, it is, you know, there's that side of things, but no, man, I love where your head's at. I think you're a great dad. I think you're a great hunter. You just, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, like, we really aren't like ever that satisfied with ourselves. We give ourselves a pat on the back here and there, but it's never enough. You know, I always am striving for better and better, but you know what? I think, for me, especially like, I feel like I'm finally at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm okay with where I'm at, and it doesn't matter to me. I don't need to be this person or I don't need to be that person. I need to be myself. And that's really, I think it's a great way to kind of put a cap on that is like, be the best version of yourself. And that's, I think that's kind of my ethos that I've always wanted to do with my podcast is more of the mindset stuff. And like, right. you know, yeah, I love hunting and I love, you know, the tactical side of things and everything else, obviously, but I really want to help people grow as hunters and as people in general. So
right.
I love it. Yeah.
Love
yeah,
that.
Man.
It's tough. It's a tough thing to get there. But once you're there, just, you'll just know. And, oh man, like I said, a couple of your friends are some of my buddies as well. And it's just, you know, this hunting genre and world that we're in, it's like a big dick swinging contest and it
oh, yeah.
doesn't need to be.
But no, but you know what? I think it's maybe it's just me, but I'm starting to see a little bit of a shift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see more people kind of like not be so concerned about like,
I agree.
Am I killing a booner? Am I, you know, whatever, you know what? I'm doing the best I can with what I got. And I've got friends of mine that are like, oh, I don't have any giants on camera this year. So what, dude, yeah. you're not going to have giants on camera every year.
Every year.
We are all dealt our own set of cards. So take them and deal with them, you know, and have fun.
I'll tell you one last thing. Last year when I shot my buck in PA with my rifle, I shot it with my best friend standing at arm's reach to me. And yeah. after I shot, he shot a doe. I mean, it was like, boom, my deer does a flip. And next thing you know, these deer get up and he's like, I'm shooting that doe, running doe. He just boom, blast her. These deer go down, falling down this little ridge. And my other best friend is down there packing out his good buck that he killed earlier in the morning up on his backpack. And he calls us, what the hell are you guys doing down there, man? Like, it's like, well, there's two deer dead right here. And we're like, yeah, we're just blasting away, having fun. Like,
that's
Justin,
awesome.
I'm telling you, man, like have that's it, like awesome. We were giggling, we were laughing, just because of the way it worked out. And we were like high-fiving each other, just like, holy crap. And then here's the three of us in with backpack full of meat, antlers on our packs from Tim and I. And just, it was just so much fun. And we did it together. And
yep.
what you were saying earlier about getting a hunt with some buddies on the calendar, I can't highly recommend that enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are what you're going to take with you, man. Those memories like that, like that you'll never forget in your friends. So yeah, make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any excuses out of any of you. You know, I know all of us have got at least one good hunting buddy. So yeah.
spend
some time with him.
Make hunting fun again. That's the title That's right. of this one, man. Make hey, hunting hey, fun man. Again.
I like it. Hey, you know what? I'm going to ask you three little rapid fire questions that I've been asking my guests lately.
Let's do it.
And you ready?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite broadhead?
Mini Mags by Grim Reaper.
Okay. What's your favorite song to head to the woods to? If you have one.
Ooh.
This season. Let's call it that.
For this season? Oh, man. I would have to go with, I'm going to go with Tossing. It's called Tossing Feta by Terror Reed. It's like this, okay. he's a white dude. He's a rapper. I could get pretty dark with some stuff, but you know, it's a good one. It fires me up. So that's what I'll be listening to get fired up going into the woods.
All right. Number one, like bucket list hunt. Money's not an option anywhere in the world.
I want to do a high country mule deer hunt and get a chance at a real nice
what
mule
state?
Deer. I don't care. State? I really don't care.
Okay.
You just
want to shoot a big one, like
yeah.
30 inches inside.
Mm-hmm.
Big yep. old double splits and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Not yeah, an elk. Same. It's not an elk hunt. That elk hunt would be number three, number two. Like I'd say 1A is that mule deer hunt. 1B is definitely my Iowa trip. Like I can't wait for that.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, man, make sure, we'll definitely stay in touch obviously. But, yeah, if you come out this way, we'll definitely hook up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for this. I feel like this was like a therapy session almost, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Hopefully, dude, hopefully other people, man, could feel that same way. I mean, that's,
I didn't know we were going to get this deep, but I think deep. It was great. I hope you guys enjoyed it that are still listening. And, on my side of things, I know me and Jeremy are doing a collab on this one. So if you're not following Antler Up Podcast, make sure you go check him out and follow along with Jeremy's stuff. He's doing some great content on the regular. So stay up to date. Make sure you're listening to him. And if you're listening from Jeremy's, hey, come check us out at the Running and Gunning Podcast. And we hope you have the best season ever. And keep us posted. Make sure you tag us. And in your success.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.